I'm Dax Labor, and I'm here with the Spark at UNT at Willis Library. And today I'm talking about my specialty here at the Spark, which is, of course, my modeling with Blender. At the Spark, I am pretty much the 3D modeling sort of specialist in the artistic sense. There are many, many more wonderfully talented individuals here who are quite better at the whole CAD thing, but through Blender, I have been able to create more artistic projects with the intention of using these to create mostly props and costumes, but they can also be used to design things such as game pieces if you are big into tabletop or figures and other sort of structures like that. It might not necessarily have an engineering application, but as a creative at heart, Blender has perfectly sought out and filled the needs that I have as a hobbyist and now, I guess, as a semi-professional. I suppose I could say that I've been paid for 3D modeling. Anyhow, let's talk a little bit about my sort of history with Blender. Starting back about maybe when I was 9 or 10 years old is when I first started to sort of have the conception of thought to learn to 3D model. I had spent hours on YouTube poring over videos by creators such as Evil Ted or, oh my God, the guy from Mythbusters, whose name currently escapes me, or Odin Makes, these wonderfully talented creators who back in the day on the YouTube channel AllMe were putting together these elaborate costumes and these DIY props that I thought was just so fascinating. Ever since I was a kid, I was always an actor. Even now, despite working in what is essentially a tech sort of position, I still am here at UNT as a theater major, funnily enough. Theater acting is so important to me, but simultaneously so is technology and sort of like nerddom, I'd say, is the word I'm looking for. Because of that, I found that the idea of being able to create props and costumes was utterly fascinating to me. It was this perfect combination of both the nerdy interests that I've had ever since I was growing up and being able to apply it and put it into a stage sort of setting. Props and costumes are inherently an extension of an actor and whoever is putting on the show. It's even if you're not necessarily, you know, being Batman because you're in like a short film, even if you wear the costume to go to a Comic-Con, at the end of the day, you are still becoming a character. And even though it's not on a stage, I consider that a form of acting in a way as well. The only problem with that, though, when I was younger, was I did not have access to these sort of resources to be able to create these props. Not only is prop making woefully expensive in terms of the material contexts, not only that, but back in 2015, when it was that I first kind of had the idea to start doing this, 3D printing was a very new technology. In fact, to say it was a new technology was an understatement. At this point in time, 3D printing kind of was a science fiction in a way. People were talking about NASA applying it to spaceships so that way astronauts could 3D print food so they could not necessarily have to store it in space. But the idea of things such as acrylic printers or FDM printers wasn't really common knowledge. It wasn't something people were doing. And even at this point, cosplay as a whole in these sort of, in 2015, to my extent that I know it, was still very limited. The amount of online resources to do this sort of thing was simply not there. Combine this with my, again, the low income, so I couldn't even afford materials to do it in the traditional sense with things such as EVA foam or, more dreadfully, learning how to sculpt with clay, then create casts, pour resin in those casts, and then, you know, the whole process of how they do it in the professional setting. I didn't have access to any sort of computer or technology either. Again, that was way outside of my cost barrier at the time. But flash forward to about 2018, and I get the same computer I use, my favorite gift in the world, I got my own desktop PC. And all of a sudden, it was the year 2019, and there was information. There was a wealth of information. All of a sudden, my dream that I had as a child was brought back to the forefront. I had the technology to be able to create stuff. And not only that, but the informational database was there as well. And to now, my dream took on a new shape as well. Because whereas before I was kind of like, okay, I'm going to learn how to do creation in the context of, you know, the physical aspect of it. There wasn't going to be any sort of computer element to creation. But now came a new thing. 3D printing, thing number one. Blender, thing number two. Blender is an open source free 3D modeling program, which essentially the emphasis, key word in that phrase is free, because it meant that I, as you know, my little suburban self could actually afford to use Blender because it cost me quite literally nothing. Not only that, but the YouTube just had so many wonderful tutorials on how to use Blender for it. And as someone who wanted to do prop and costume work, which is sort of like my introduction to Blender and why I wanted to use it, the resources that I had available on YouTube, particularly from the channel Kamui Cosplay, was perfect for me in learning Blender's tools. And so I sat down at my computer, I cracked open YouTube tutorials on modeling, and I sat down and I started working at learning Blender, at putting it all together. And I sucked, and I was terrible at it, and it didn't make sense to me at the time. Navigating three-dimensional space is significantly harder in a digital platform. Not only are there different elements you have to worry about when you're 3D modeling that don't come into effect in the real world. Like, for instance, I don't have to go tell a piece of cardboard that its normals, the side that it's normally facing out of, is pointing inwards on itself. That's not something that you have a problem with in the real world, but it is a problem that exists in Blender. So there were all these problems with Blender. There were all these tools I didn't know how to sufficiently use. All of a sudden, what originally started out as sort of my dream became daunting. It became even more imposing. I had finally gotten the opportunity to learn something I've been dying to learn ever since I was young, and I've gotten a new hurdle placed before me. And so I kind of stopped. I took a break from Blender for a very long time. I used it on and off here and there every now and again, just for smaller pieces, things that really didn't break anything larger than maybe 2 inches by 2 inches. It was a thought to me to go back to Blender, to use it, to learn it more, fully. But at this point in my life, there was a lot of other things happening. I was approaching the end of high school, so I didn't really have an opportunity to. But that changed when I got to the Spark. When I got to the Spark, Blender started to make sense again. I had put down that I was, in fact, proficient at Blender. And I'm sorry to tell, To confess in this here audio booth, frankly, I was not nearly as proficient at Blender as I was letting it on to be. It was something I had dabbled in, but it wasn't something that I thought I could teach at the time. It's not something I thought that I could take on projects for at the time. Until they told me that I was doing Blender, and all of a sudden the fire got lit under me, and I realized, maybe I shouldn't have said that I could do something that I couldn't do. But the fact of the matter is that sometimes when you fake it, you do indeed make it. I went back into Blender and I started learning it with new, fresher eyes. And immediately it all started making sense to me. The vast majority of the information on YouTube and on the internet all of a sudden became easier to digest. I knew exactly what I was looking for, what I needed to find in order to better myself with using Blender, and I began to take on projects to push the limits. I started out by modeling my first cosplay piece in a very long time, something that's been a dream of mine to model, even though it already exists on Thingiverse. It's the mask that the character Kindred wears in League of Legends, and it's always been this sort of like very beautiful mask to me, this beautiful piece of art and 3D modeling. And so being, a Kindred main on League of Legends, take this how you will, whoever's listening to this, I immediately set out to model it. And whereas before, when I had attempted to do this years back, I just simply couldn't understand it. Now it just made sense. Not only could I navigate 3D space better having had this sort of break, but I knew what I was looking for when I sought out YouTube videos. When the mesh would mess up, I knew about the entire concept of topology, about aligning my vertices and my faces. I learned how to use tools such as subdivision surface, mirror, and solidify in order to create a three-dimensional mask. I pulled out the vertices, I jumped into sculpt mode, and when I didn't know how sculpt mode works, I went onto YouTube as well and I solved that. Slowly but surely, I began to branch out away from just doing these sort of cosplay pieces, and I took a step back and thought, what else could people use Blender for? So of course I did the donut. It's a classic, it's a rite of passage. When I teach Blender courses here at UNT, that's literally the same exact premise I do for people's first projects anyway. It's a little less focused, sure, but all of the tools used in that tutorial are tools that I ended up using for essentially all of my projects, with the exception of two, when I created this little worm based off of the worm that appears in the cover album of Everything is a Lot by Will Wood and the Tapeworms, and when I created a Pikmin. These two projects not only kind of helped me learn more about the different tools, but it also taught me more about figure modeling, and for the Pikmin in particular, more about modeling characters, which is an important thing to do because if you look at obviously anything in the digital and creative animation space, character modeling is probably some of the most important and profitable job opportunities in that market, the most lucrative. Character models have to be done all the time, both in film and video game and television. And for that reason, knowing how to character model, if you are intending to learn 3D modeling as a business to become like a freelancer or become a corporate animator, that is probably the most important realm to learn how to do creative 3D modeling. So I started doing some of that. And at this point, I had kind of understood Blender. I had understood how to teach it. I had understood how to do character modeling. I'd understood sculpting and meshing, and I understood how to do it to apply it to my own sort of needs. And all of a sudden, that prop and costume dream I had when I was 10 was finally realized almost a decade later. But now, as here at the Spark, I handle doing those sorts of things. I 3D print different sort of cosplay pieces, figures. I handle making sort of 3D models for the Spark. Somewhere down the line, if you ever see a 3D animated Spark logo, I'm hoping that that will be me who has done it. Anyhow, I'm hoping that will be me that did it because I currently am the one sort of working on creating a 3D model and render and animation for the Spark as well. I'm also the one responsible behind the UN Scream Mask, as I call it, which is a scrappy version of the ghost face. Both the masks versions that from the time of recording this should be out by the end of October, and also the keychains that I'm sure we're going to give away at tabling events. But that's enough about me and my story. If you're listening to this, you probably want to know a little bit more about Blender. The wonderful thing about Blender is that it is, first of all, free and open source. What that means is it's accessible to anybody. Not only that, but there are tools in Blender created by other people who have used Blender before. If there was ever a problem, a complication, an equation that needed to be solved in Blender by somebody else, chances are they've taken that knowledge and they've converted it into an add-on, allowing people to be able to do things like CAD modeling within Blender, allowing people to create certain textures, such as hair, rope, or scales within Blender. All of these tools, these sort of masks and models and mathematical equations to get this, have been created by somebody else and are now endowed upon the entirety of all of those who use Blender. One of the most wonderful things about open source software. Another thing about Blender is that it truly is the most generalized 3D modeling software out there. Most of the time, Blender seems to be better at art and animation. In fact, if I were to ever recommend somebody Blender, I would tell them first and foremost that that's what it's used for. It can be used for sort of real-world applications, but I would say that it still kind of ends up being in the realm of creative creation for things such as cosplay, for instance. While that is indeed a real thing, it's still more artistic. If you're trying to create something for a mechanical or engineering context, CAD still is the way to go. It's more specific, and it has better translation to real-world measurements. Blender does succeed very much at being an art and animation software. It's used heavily by hobbyists, but unfortunately, it's not really a staple in animation and modeling. ZBrush and Maya still to this day kind of own that sort of niche in the market, which isn't to say that Blender doesn't have its use or that there aren't studios that do use Blender as their chief animation studio and sort of software, but it is to say that ZBrush and Maya still are important to learn if you're doing this in the context of trying to make a career out of 3D modeling, animation, or rendering. One of the biggest problems I had when learning Blender, one of the things that I believe that people should know about it, is that Blender's kind of a lot at the beginning. There's a lot going on in the space, there's a lot of different tools to use, and there's a lot of different sort of contexts that you use those tools in. There's also a lot of finickiness with it, which isn't exclusive to Blender. It's simply a product of electronic software in general, is these finicky, weird sort of things that it does to be able to even give us the gift of having it in the first place. Because of this, Blender can quickly get overwhelming. Just today, when I was modeling the UN Scream mask, I discovered a harrowing truth, which was that large portions of the mask had their the faces of the mesh inverted. So essentially, the computer was reading certain parts on the outside of the mask as if that was an interior wall. So it was facing inward. The problem with that essentially becomes that whenever you try to sculpt on the mask, it wouldn't read properly. And if you tried to cut it in Cura for 3D printing, it would close up certain gaps in the mesh because it would be reading these walls as internal instead of external. Because of this, the most important thing to remember with Blender is save frequently. That's thing number one. I save way too many versions of my files, so that way I can always go back if I discover that a problem is way deeper rooted than I thought it was. But also, none of these problems are ever something that are overwhelming or that should crush you. The internet, YouTube, has so many amazing resources to help solve these problems. It's simply a matter of kind of Googling it. Like, I suspected that the problem with those faces were that their normals were inverted, but I simply typed in dark spots showing up in my mesh into Google, and they knew exactly what I was talking about. The people and community behind Blender are some of the most helpful and thoughtful people out there. And it's for this reason that Blender has such a huge crowd behind it. There is no problem that you could ever have in Blender, whether with rendering, 3D modeling, or animation, that can't be solved if you simply are willing to take a look at the broader community and just say your problem out loud. For this reason, I Blender is just amazing. Another tip I would give with Blender is always whenever, and this is a 3D modeling note, actually. So if you're a complete beginner to 3D modeling, one of the most important things is before you get into any sort of sculpting, always make sure that your mesh is distinctly, is already kind of to the shape of what you're modeling. Sculpting works best if you're sculpting from as close to the finished product as possible. When you use Sculpt for detailing, Sculpt tends to be more reliable, at least if you have already started laying an outline from the mesh. In the event that you decide to start from, if sculpting is your goal, if you're sculpting from the get-go, if you start your modeling from a sculpt, then it's a lot better. But you can't do sculpting in the middle point. If you decide to start by 3D modeling, which is to say that you start by creating new vertices and faces from a base mesh, if you start there, sculpting isn't going to be nearly as helpful until you reach the end of that process. So you either sculpt at the beginning or you sculpt at the end, but you can't really sculpt in the middle. Blender is just not even blend. Like, I won't blame this on Blender. I'm going to say it's a broader thing with 3D modeling. It's just simply not how these softwares are created. 3D modeling is not as hard or as scary as it might look to be sometimes. The fact of the matter is, like with all things in the artistic world, the most difficult part is knowing what you're missing. But the Blender community has done something truly magical, because even if you don't know the problem you need to have solved, the Blender community does. And for that reason, I love Blender.